you're listening to Consider This, episode 247, for the 18th of March, 2019.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are we having fun yet? I know I am. I'm Doug Payton, and this is Consider This, the podcast where I have some fun giving you my conservative commentary in a fun-sized 10 minutes or less. For even more fun, check out the website, considerthis.ctpodcasting.com. That's where you can find out how to get in touch with me and share the show with your social media gang. That's CT as in creating tension. This time I'm talking about a rather significant return from transgenderism and a significant study of the universal basic income. That's going to be a lot to get to, so let's have some fun right now. Four years ago, Jamie Shoup got space in the New York Times to write about his decision to live as a woman. He said that he had wanted to live, quote, authentically as the woman that I have always been, and had effectively traded my white male privilege to become one of America's most hated minorities, close quote. Then 3 years ago, he decided that he was neither male nor female, but non-binary, and he made headlines after an Oregon judge agreed to let him identify as a third sex, not male or female. Today, he wants to live as the man he really is. My guess is that he won't be getting that prime New York Times real estate to declare that he made a huge mistake. The link is in the show notes to his story of a history of psychiatric issues, a nurse practitioner too scared to say no when he demanded hormone therapy because of transgender activists, and how he realized that this activism was a big lie. Returning from that was difficult both mentally and physically. And consider this, Shoup claims that the medical community is so fearful of the trans community that they're now afraid to give someone an alternative diagnosis. They must fall in line or risk backlash. Of all the medical professionals that he came in contact with, only one had the courage to suggest that maybe what he was doing wasn't good for him. He fired her, and the trans community applauded. Never mind that his history should have set off alarms, the medical community has fallen in line.
Trauma, hypersexuality owing to childhood sexual abuse, and autogynephilia,
an unpopular idea that some transgenders are actually men who are attracted to the thought or the image of themselves as females,
are all supposed to be red flags for those involved in the medical arts of psychology, psychiatry, and physical medicine. Yet nobody except for the one therapist in Pittsburgh ever tried to stop me from changing my sex. They just kept helping me to harm myself.
Ultimately, all of this failed to create his idea of the ideal female in his own body. So the choice to move to being non-binary was to try to salvage his mind and body from the ravages of a sex change. It had nothing to do with being groundbreaking, and yet the LGBT community continued to encourage this self-harm by working to get Jamie's gender changed on his birth certificate. They got a political success, while all the while ignoring his physical and mental well-being. It was all about politics, not the people. And since that's true, as soon as Jamie came out against gender reassignment surgery for children and against transgender military service, his use to those organizations and the media dropped to zero, and they abandoned him, disappearing him from their history. He was no longer useful to their political aims. Jamie ends his article with this.
Two fake gender identities couldn't hide the truth of my biological reality. There is no third gender or third sex. Like me, intersex people are either male or female. Their condition is the result of a disorder of sexual development, and they need help and compassion. I played my part in pushing forward this grand illusion. I'm not the victim here. My wife, daughter, and the American taxpayers are. They are the real victims.
I would have to say that, yes, he is a victim. He's a victim of the activists and the medical community and the politicians and pundits who encourage this without any question at all, who ignore the science, or who, at the very least, don't tap the brakes even just a little in this headlong rush to appear woke. Not all cases are like Jamie Shoup's, but his case does show that the best interests of the person are not being considered by the people who have no excuse not to know better. For them, it's all about politics. I've talked a little bit about UBI, Universal Basic Income, as a method for reducing the welfare bureaucracy, and that in theory it seems like it could work. Well, a 2-year study of the UBI in Finland has provided information that, no, it doesn't seem like it could. From January 2017 to December 2018, that country ran a pilot program of 2,000 unemployed Finns. At the end of it, Miska Simanian, one of the researchers, said the participants in the study were no more likely to find work than those in a control group that was given traditional unemployment benefits. I guess another way of putting it is that disincentives to work, in whatever form they take, give the same results. Well, there was one difference. One of the participants said, quote, "I am still without a job. I can't say that the basic income has changed a lot in my life. Okay, psychologically, yes, but financially, not so much," close quote. So he feels better about sitting around watching TV than he did before. Now, let me be clear. I believe in a program of unemployment benefits, and for some, those benefits keep food on the table as they continue to look for work. But looking for work for an able-bodied person really needs to be part of that equation. Otherwise, you risk creating a culture in which it is expected that you not just can, but should be paid for doing nothing. It's one of the reasons the Green New Deal is such a bad idea. I hadn't thought about it before, but the article I referred to on this did some math. If we had a UBI in the U.S. of just $10,000, certainly a very basic income, it would cost us over $3 trillion every year. Our entire current budget, including existing entitlements in the military, everything the government spends money on, is around $4 trillion. So that $3 trillion would be added to the debt every single year. And $10,000 per year is not something you might consider a living wage, so the Green New Deal's cost, just for that one line item, would be massive. The more I think about it, I think UBI stands for unbelievably bad idea. And finally, Iran was named to a seat on the United Nations Committee on the Status of Women. Yeah, that Iran. Thanks, UN, for making parody pretty much obsolete. So, just for fun, how about you let me know what you think? Run, don't walk to the website, considerthis.ctpodcasting.com, and leave a comment on the show notes, or find out how to call me, email me, tweet me, or Facebook me. While you're in the neighborhood, you can click on the Amazon affiliate link and support this show. Thanks for listening, and I hope to have your ear again next time, where we'll take some more time, but less than 10 minutes, to consider this.